The mission of the American Leadership Forum is to unite, strengthen, and serve. ALF is an organization that brings together leaders to discover more about themselves and connect them across all boundaries to build relationships that not only enrich each other, but the community as a whole. Sharing their perspectives on leadership as the organization turns 20, our former board chair attorney, Larry Garcia, and current board chair and consultant, Nancy Brodowski, next on Studio Sacramento.
At Five Star Bank, we create thoughtful solutions to help the Capital Region thrive, from economic development and education to public health and safety, issues that are vitally important to Sacramento's prosperity. We're proud to be part of the conversation and hope you'll join in.
Nancy, what is the significance of this anniversary?
So this organization is a national in scope, and we are one of its chapters. And when the founders, there were four, I'm sure when they were trying to put this idea together, they never thought that here we would be 20 years later and having created a generation of leaders for our region. And if you go to any nonprofit and organizations, committees, government, business, etc., there's over 400 of us now in the region. And so we are involved in every aspect of how our government and how our city is thriving and working. And it's that network that we've created is really powerful.
And yes, and the fellowship is moving now to the next generation, which I think is significant for the growth and development of the region.
We're all three of us here are either the current chair or former chairs of the American Leadership Forum. How does the American Leadership Forum in its work and the people that have been involved, how do you think that it affects community?
I think it affects community by building important connections and enduring relationships between community leaders such that they know each other, they share values, and they can handle difficult conversations about the regions. They can differ on certain issues but still respect each other. And I think it adds to the important dialogue that makes the region a good place to live and work.
And Nancy, do you, in the work of not only as a consultant in the community, but as a longtime member of ALF yourself, how do you see those many connections really taking place in a way that really advances the region?
Like anything, it's about relationships. So when you can already know somebody in a much more of a deeper level, you know about how they are, how they feel, or the fact that they've been through ALF, you recognize that they have offered themselves an opportunity to really learn about themselves and what they can contribute. And then by knowing that, and then I come to you with an idea or an opportunity or a difficult discussion, I know you're gonna really look at me and hold me accountable to what I'm gonna say to you, and we already have a connection. We've been through it. And by that, we know that with the idea that you opened the show with, United, Strengthen, and Serve. The whole premise of our organization is to strengthen our region. So I see it as an opportunity of just kind of understanding each other without even having to say anything.
Well, let me follow up real quick on that and ask you for just to set the table. What is the ALF experience? Because for people who have not been through it, what is it that outside of just an organization and a name, what is it that people go through? How does it work?
Great question. So we would take, we are already now going to be starting the 21st class. Class is usually 25 people. This year we had the largest at 28. We go through a rigorous training of going out to the region, who do you know, asking what type of diversity. We don't just look at ethnic diversity, it's geographic diversity, and then business, government, nonprofits, etc. So you want a very rich class that comes with so many points of view. Once getting accepted and being part of this process, you agree to a year-long involvement.
Before you go on, once you get accepted, so when you go and say, who do you know, what happens after that?
Then they're vetted and they're put in under a very intense matrix of how it all fits. Do we have all our boxes, as many as possible?
And what type of people are you guys looking for?
People who not only are willing to participate in this, but then there is a cost to do this. We provide subsidies and...
But what type of attributes do they need to have?
They need to be willing to be open. They need to be willing to educate themselves and look at wanting to learn something. It's very transformational. Change happens, and you have to be willing to do this. And then we're also looking to see, are you willing to do it? Are you going to be a willing partner in a group of 25? Or are you going to be off on your own? Then that person isn't what we're looking
for. Larry, you used to chair the nominations committee.
Yes.
For L. Tell us kind of the process that you and your colleagues went through.
Okay. We were always looking for people who were community leaders already, as opposed to building up a leadership program from those who were beginning their careers. And then we looked for people who we thought were committed to the community, people who were willing to undertake what I'll call the great gift of both growth and discernment, because unlike other leadership programs that I've been in, the thing that differentiates ELF is we go on a 6-day adventure. And what that causes us to do is go beyond our comfort zone so that we can get to difficult conversations and relationships and growth in relationships that are very difficult to achieve when you just sit around for an hour or two. So we needed to find people who are willing for their own growth, for the growth of the community, to be able to make that commitment and to be accountable to the expectations of others who did the same.
But there's the beginning part before they get to the wilderness experience is that coming to a retreat that sets the stage in May, you have an opportunity to give your 7-minute story. And they're not concerned about what you do or what I've done in this world and what I've done in my community. It's who you are. And that immediately changes the dynamics, because when people can really express in very heartfelt ways who they are, now it sets a new table. Now everybody's looking at each other in you're very vulnerable. And leadership can be extremely difficult and lonely. And this provides a self-container in which we can all share what's going on in our lives. That's very powerful.
So how do you answer the question? It sounds like it's a very elitist type of program, but it is a program comprised of leaders. So how do you reconcile that?
Okay, I'm not sure I'd characterize it as elitist.
Okay.
I do think it has an invitation element to it. And the reason that's important is because the determination of who should come is organically developed by a group of other fellows. Mm-hmm. And I think that's particularly important. People don't get in because they know a person or because they have the resources to buy into the. It needs to be a two-way street where you're invited in and you bring what you have and who you are to that invitation. We also look very significantly to be certain that we have diversity from the region, geographic, ethnic, cultural, orientation, and we make sure that we're reaching into all elements in business and activities and government leaders. So we're reaching around the region to make sure we're bringing together those leaders in constructive dialogue with the training and the commitment necessary, I think, to really improve the region.
How do you think, let's focus on diversity for a second. One of the things that ALF focuses on is on diversity and being very intentional about issues of diversity. How does that impact either decision making or activity within the region?
That's a good question. I think it impacts the decision making in the region, because whenever an issue comes up in the region, ELFRS ought to be able to find folks from a particular community or more who can speak both intelligently and thoughtfully and openly on the issues facing that community. So I think that is not always true.
Yeah, I agree.
And for ALF as an entity, if we're trying to explain it to people, is it an organization so much that people need to understand, or the people that work within it or are attached to it?
I think that it's both, because it is made up of over 400 people, and yet our ALF members are doing great things in our region. And so you look at all the things that were going on, we always went.
Give us an example.
So if I stop to think of the arena, Mark Friedman was an ALF class 7, and Christopher Garibaldi was also in his class. Then you have Michael Ald, who was in my class in class 14, who was working on downtown.
So the head of the downtown partnership.
The head of downtown partnership. We could go on and on, pick something, and I'll tell you there's an ALF person. And I think that's what's great. That's very powerful for my own self and my own business. When I'm trying to help put people on boards and I'm trying to look for a passion or who has experience, we have a rich directory that's a great place to, not necessarily they would be, but they may know somebody. So it's using that connections, that relationship building, that then how do we help this project, or how do we help this organization, or how do I move my business further? Ultimately, if you're doing all this activity, you're helping our region. And that's what we all want to do.
And I see it largely as a fellowship. And as important as ALF is, I think it isn't as strong as the ALFers. And the connections they have and the relationships they have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important, so that we stay somewhat neutral, so that we can be as broad and diverse as we can, and the network operates without being seen as having any one disposition or political point of view.
What has the ALF experience meant to you personally?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think it was a great gift. When you get to be, let's say, past 40, you know, the idea of opportunities to grow and to really build lasting, enduring relationships with others in positions of responsibility in your community almost never happens. And to be able to do that, because I've been in other organizations where that time and effort is not taken, and therefore the depth of the relationship, and which you often need to work through difficult times, that foundation is not set. But I think ALF not only gave that to me, with my class and by surrogacy other classes who've been through the same thing, but helped build a stronger sense of self with regard to relationships with others. So I thought it was a great gift in my case.
And Nancy, what about yours?
So I would say initially, being involved in the community, I've always done it as a volunteer. And one of our sessions that we had was called How to Ask the Powerful Question. Whoa, I'm sitting there saying, I'm not always sure we're asking the right questions when we sit in different meetings. So since then, I have truly looked to see how am I approaching something, or how are we going, and is that the direct way to be, or are we even at the questions we should be asking? That I found very beneficial. Then ultimately, I just got into my own company because I was asked, why don't you, I said, I'm a natural connector. Why don't I don't know how you make money or how do you do this? And next thing I was known, that's where the accountability comes in. People who know me would say, well, then are you going to talk about it, or are you going to do something about it? And that was also eye-opening. So out of it, I was named. I created a business, a desire I've wanted to have my whole life. I would never have done it without having the experience of going through ALF. Was awesome for me.
And what I think what I learned most, I think that's you're talking about your experience, is that how to build an enduring relationship out of conflict and disagreement. That is not an easy thing to do, and I think many of us prefer to avoid conflict and turn away from it, but it's a lost opportunity, and I think the skill sets that you learn in ALF of how to have the difficult conversations, how to listen, how to actively listen, how to feedback, I think gives a foundation for really trying to take and build good friendships out of differences of opinion.
Let me ask you a related question, Larry. How has your ALF experience affected your personal leadership style when you're leading others?
I think that the main thing is it's taught me to listen more, and that contribution by active listening and asking the right questions is a very powerful thing, as opposed to offering points of view. And I would tell you, before the ALF experience, I probably did the latter more than the former, but I think it's definitely helped leadership in my case by using, I'd say, more of a Socratic dialogue to guide communications.
You're the leader of ALF today. Comparing yourself before you had your own ALF experience, how are you different as a leader?
I would agree with Larry. It does make you listen. It also helps you not solve everything. But you want to be able to let people, trying to let people come in, have their voice being heard. How to create the environment that people will feel safe to share their experience. And I think that being exposed to different people with different ways that they were brought up, I was very lucky that I had my class was so diverse, which has really been a lifelong teaching moment to me, to how to look at things. And now anything that comes across in the news or in life, I have all those voices with me that makes me stop and think, I'm not sure we're approaching that, and what about this? The other thing, being a leader of ALF at this time, is you're leading a group of leaders, and that makes you work harder and be sharper at your game, because you don't want to disappoint, and you also know that it's a high bar, and you need to rise above it.
What I'm hearing from both of you is this underlying sort of thread or theme of humility, almost, that the experience brought you to in not necessarily having all the answers, or not necessarily bringing one's own opinion, automatically assuming that that's the direction you need to go. Those are skills that seem like they would be just intuitive, but I guess they're not.
They're not intuitive because often in our lives, particularly as adults, we live in a pretty narrow cone of our work and home experience, and we often don't see that we bring with us a filter as a result of that. But when you respect and understand others' commitments from very different walks of life and begin to hear them, even though it might be something you're first thinking, well, that doesn't make sense, you're open to learning from that experience. And so, I mean, to me, that's really one of the more critical elements of it, is the ability to really understand the impact of authenticity that it has in the dialogue with you.
When you look back, Larry, you were chair years ago, your class was many years ago, not to date you too much, but how has ALF as an organization evolved, because the region has evolved?
Right. I would say, and in substantial part because of my colleague here, early on I was in class six, I'm happy to say that, and class six, there were only five classes before of us, so we spent a lot of time trying to really prepare the way to improve the experience for new classes. What I see today is the experience is available not just for the next generation, the next class, but for all senior fellows. Lots of different programs and activities, and with over 400 of us in the region, I think it's important to keep that dialogue going. So to me, that's a very significant change that has occurred since I was chair.
To stay with that for just a moment, it sounds like that there has been a change in focus from the people that are in the program or the class that is currently active and learning to being, while not ignoring them, being more focused on the broader community of the 19 years that have gone before?
No, I think that the focus, what I'll say, the focus is on the fellowship, not just in the next class. Different programs, different activities, different ways to engage, different ways to connect ALFers in the community. You know, I think it's a good thing.
And what are some of those ways?
So we just were looking at it. We are able, for those to count how many have participated, that, granted, you could do several things, but over 450 ALF experiences were felt by members. So that means, like, in fact, we have a program called BALIS that's like a 2.0 that was created this year to look at how do you make change. Well, if you're going to make change, you've got to change the culture. Well, what's entailed in that? So that's been a whole month long. We've been doing it 6 times. We'll do it over the course of once a month, all day. People will give up their time to come. And what I love about it is it's cross-pollinization. It's from class 1 to 19 will participate in these types of additional learning. It's that continuing to learn rather than say, well, I've learned everything, I'm all done. And then the other aspect is we're doing a program that we're looking at is unconscious bias.
So unconscious bias.
It's the topic that's tough. And there's a discussion that needs to be had. What is entailed in it?
Well, first, what is it?
It is basically looking at it from a scientific point of view. So we're leveling the playing field. And we are using some of our own senior fellows to help dialogue and explain the situation. So it's a 6-part program that we're actually looking at, and it's something that needs some discussion, but we felt who better than ALF to tackle the tough conversations.
This focus on issues like unconscious bias, which has come up in everything from relationships between police and community to workplace environment. What do you think that an organization like ALF brings to the table in being able to host something like that?
I think it shows a commitment to constructive dialogue. So much today in the dialogue we hear really is demonizing the other side and demonizing the people that hold those views. I think ALF is uniquely qualified with its diversity and with its fellowship to constructively engage in dialogue and to expose, when the constructive dialogue isn't entered into, the adverse impact it has on a community. Mm-hmm.
What other programs are going on for the ALF community right now?
So we have something that we've been doing over the last several years is all access reception. So when new people are coming into this region in their positions of authority, people want to know them. Again, trying to strengthen relationships, making something that we're offering our fellows. If you like golf, we have a golf. We have a women's affinity. Trying to figure out, not everyone's going to want to come to a holiday.
You have a senior program as well, right, for retired
executives? We have a fabulous program called Encore. And we have placed to date over 55 retirees. And we're putting them for 1 year in nonprofits that the nonprofit does not pay for. This is a program that's coming in, and we do the matching of putting the right person, the retiree, with the right nonprofit. And it gives them great experience.
How do people find out about programs like Encore and Ballast and other things like that?
They go to the website, or they can talk to our CEO, Bonnie Ferreira, and BEST is the website, or see one of us.
Okay. As we look forward to the next 20 years for ALF, where would you like to see this organization and the people that populate it go?
Well, I would like to see it both go, what I would say, geographically as well as vertically. Geographically, in that there are lots of parts of our region where I think we could have better penetration. And so I think it's very important that we really focus on that. And what I mean by vertically, I think we have a younger generation for which we could make similar kind of ALF programs available as well. I mean, even all the way down to the high school and to the community college level. So we're reaching the next generation early on with some of the skills and some of the experience that ELF offers.
And Nancy, from your point of view, you know, 20 years in, what's the next 20 look like, where it is that you want to participate in?
So now we'll have two generations of leaders through the course of time. I would like to, that ALF will be seen as the go-to place, that if there's some difficult conversation, that ALF could convene the group of people to enable that conversation to happen. And taking the richness of the diversity and letting people be exposed to what they're learning. I think the more that people share with what they've seen and experienced, it's a teaching moment so that others can learn from it. And I hope we will be able to take so that just not ALFers can get a session on how to ask the powerful question, but others will as well. So we'll see how do you take that to the next level.
And we're going to leave it there. That's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syfax. See you next time right here on KBIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KBIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
At Five Star Bank, we create thoughtful solutions to help the Capital Region thrive, from economic development and education to public health and safety, issues that are vitally important to Sacramento's prosperity. We're proud to be part of the conversation and hope you'll join in.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.